Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
I'm Don McGuire, and welcome to the Misfits of Gold weekly special. You know, it's a kind of a kick off your shoes, laid back, relaxed. If you'd like to call in, the guest call in is 323-417-6810. This is basically a show where we have a trainer, a couple fighters on. We speak our own minds. We don't conform to anybody. We give our own thoughts. And if you'd like to chime in, and, you know, if you disagree with us or agree with us, you know, whatever it may be, you may jump on and give us a call. Jump in the green room. I'll answer your questions. I'll bring you on live air if I feel it's a necessity. But with that being said, I think I'm joined right now only by Travis Hyland. Travis, what's up?
Not a whole lot, Don. We're out here at NutraSport. You know, Sam is finishing up some of his last training rounds before his big LFA fight. So Sam and MF will be joining us here in just a minute.
You know, that's a day that I'm looking forward to. Like I was bitching before we went live. You know, I kind of had to put some money away for this event. You know, as you know, you guys are coming all the way out from California to Minnesota. And unfortunately, me and the management company, we have to stay in another hotel. We're not as fortunate as you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty rough, man. You know, I thought the amateur fighters had it bad, but it's pretty rough when they can't even, you know, put their all their photographers and the media and everyone like that up in the same kind of accommodations.
Well, what I think it is this LFA is getting to be such a huge promotion, and a lot of people are really, you know, taking to that promotion. The hotel is pretty much booked out. So, you know, in that reference, it really doesn't bother us as long as we get to see Sam Toomer step back up in the cage. This is a day we've all been looking forward to. You know, while I got you on the air, you know, there's a couple things that been kind of bothering me, and I know MF really doesn't like to go this route. So, you know, I noticed that the gay rights movement had came out and they added a P to their national slogan, and they basically have incorporated the pedophile name into their slogan. Now, you and I, Travis, we speak very openly about this. You know, we're not homophobic. We don't have issues against anybody of that nature. But this is something that it has even got people of the lesbian and gay rights movement a little upset. What are your thoughts knowing that a national organization is now giving pedophiles accreditation?
You know, man, it's absolutely ridiculous. Because, I mean, we've talked about it time and time again that, you know, children should not be allowed to make adult decisions, you know. And this isn't something like two consenting adult men, you know, choosing to be gay or, you know, living that lifestyle. And that's not victimizing anybody. You know, any time that you take a child, you know, and to be honest, I think that 18-year-old kids should still be considered children. You know, I've expressed my opinions on here that I don't think 16-year-old kids should be able to drive, you know. And it's a terrible thing for society. And it's also a terrible thing for them to try and pin that, you know, put that in the same category as the LGBTQ, now, you know, PXLR, whatever other letters they want to add on there, you know. But like we said before, you know, there's nothing wrong with being gay and with two consenting adults making that decision. But when you're allowing children to make the decision, or even worse, allowing an adult, a sound of mind adult, to victimize a child, you know, that is completely fucked up, and it should not be associated. It shouldn't be associated with anything, certainly shouldn't be associated with, you know, LGBTQ, because that has nothing to do with pedophilia.
Yeah, you know, that's what kind of threw me off, and to have people from the same set organization that, you know, have spoken for and are outspoken for this organization are now speaking against it, you know, due to the ruling today. So it kind of caught me off guard. You know, they're basically saying that they're okay with pedophilia, and that just doesn't sit well with me. I mean, You know, in our state, our states are a little bit backwards. You know, Arkansas is a little bit more backwards than we are. But in our state, they consider a consenting adult at the age of 16 for a male, 17 for a female. And which is even more weird, you can get married at the age of 13 in the state of Arkansas, which kind of confuses me even that much more. It goes to show you that you go 2,300 miles away from California and how drastic life does change and how different the views are from other individuals. You know, I think the main difference with society today is we need to get on the same page. I think if we can get on the same page across the country, I don't think there would be so much, you know, rational thoughts, people being able to think that they can do what they want to do. But under different guidelines from different states, you know, I'm thinking there needs to be some sort of uniformity. What's your thought?
I absolutely agree with that, Don. You know, it's like, you know, you see it a lot with college campuses today. You know, we're having all these things that are coming out, you know, about the whole Harvey Weinstein sexual assault, you know. And if you look at, you know, college campuses today, I mean, there are some really weird things that are getting passed around at college campuses. I mean, things like regret now makes it rape, you know. And there have been kids in college who have got in trouble because they have, you know, hooked up with a girl. They've had text messages saying, oh, yeah, hey, we're going to come hang out or whatever. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, that girl's friends convinces her that, you know, she didn't really want that or something happens, you know. And now they can take that consent and make it rape, you know. It's like we're having trouble defining, you know. We're getting caught up in these semantics and people are just arguing about words. But like you said, nobody is on the same page. So it's like you get into a college campus, you know, situation where you have 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who are confused and just coming into their sexuality, let alone now you're pouring alcohol and drugs on top of it, you know. And it's like, you know, now we're giving people these things where it's like words are violence and, you know, things like microaggressions are now rape. And it's become ridiculous, you know. We have to define these things. We have to define what is rape, what is sexual assault. You know, we can't just say that, you know, now words are violence and start passing laws like that because it's not the real world. And it puts us into more of a state of confusion, you know, across the board. And just one more thing. We now have MF Beck has just joined us, and I think Sam Toomer is changing his clothes. So we got MF here now.
At least we got MF. You know, he always gives me crap because he says I forget about the show, but at least I show up on time. But, you know, the reason I said we'd talk on humility and integrity today was kind of a nice way of putting it. You know, there was a couple of documentaries that were put out today that kind of just caught my attention and threw me off just a little bit. You know, how can a Latin American be considered a racist, a white person be considered a racist, and everybody in between? But these documentaries that came out today were from the African American, you know, community. And they're taking a stand in the ground that kind of just threw me off. They're saying that black people aren't racist. And when I look at life, in my eyes, everybody's a racist. But they said that as far as they're concerned, everybody else is racist but the African-American community. When you see statements of that and you see documentaries coming out in that aspect, and I'm sure you've seen the other ones where there's, you know, white gentleman, you know, with an African American sitting at the table and he's calling him a nigger and things of this nature. You know, what are your thoughts on equality and what are your thoughts on now that the African American community has come out and said that they're not racist, everybody else is?
I mean, I've heard this argument. People try and make the argument that the only way you can be racist against someone is if you have power over them. And you know, racism is power or privilege, you know, and being able to hold other people down. And again, man, it's people getting caught in semantics. It's people getting caught in the words, you know. I hate to burst everyone's bubble out there, man, but it's 2018, and nobody alive today has owned slaves. You know what I mean? So it's like we can keep dividing people into these little groups and these little tribes, and we can just keep bitching and moaning about, everybody's racist and everybody's holding me down, you know? Or you can realize that, yeah, some people are born into a shitty situation, but you got to make the best of your situation and you got to find a way out of it, you know? Yes, there's privilege. Yes, people are born lucky. Yes, there are some girls that are beautiful and get everything given to them. But none of that matters, you know? You can spend your entire life trying to bitch about the little tribe that you're part of or, you know, complain about this or that, but it's never the real world, you know? Your real world is you and your family and your people. And if you take care of those people, you know, and worry about you and not worry about everyone else in society, man, it makes life so much easier. You know, you don't have to hold on to that stress of, guess what, 200 years ago, my grand ancestors were slaves. Well, 200 years ago, you know, white people weren't here and all of my people were killed off. You know, but I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to cry about the fact that the Native Americans were wiped out because it doesn't benefit me in today's society.
It's so true, you know. But I'll be the first to admit, you know, because I'm half Cherokee and half Irish. You know, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's truly not a day that I like to relish in or even like to celebrate. You know, my family is of other descent, not of Native American, and you know, every year they go, okay, here comes Debbie Downer. You know, you're going to ruin the holiday again. But you know, it's not the fact that I want to ruin the holiday, because I'm not trying to. The simple fact is, why should I celebrate a day that, you know, basically was the destruction of my people? And you being Native American, it kind of, I'd like to get your thoughts on that scenario.
I mean, I absolutely agree with you, man. I think that Columbus Day is another one of those holidays that most people aren't aware of, you know. Columbus was a sociopathic piece of shit. He was a genocidal murderer who used to cut off people's arms if they wouldn't bring back their weight in gold. I mean, you know, there are different accounts and books that have came out that Columbus used to smash babies on rocks in front of their parents if they weren't bringing back enough gold. You know, he'd feed people to dogs. And history has this way of, you know, painting people after long enough into these, you know, saviors and heroes. When really, like everyone, just like John F. Kennedy, just like Obama, just like, you know, Columbus, everybody's flawed and everybody is so much more of a deep person than people think, you know. Everybody has these kinds of this demon, this darkness in them. And I think it's, you know, I think it's ridiculous. I personally kind of feel the same way as you, where I don't necessarily celebrate Thanksgiving in the same way. But I just love being around my family and I take it as that, you know. It's all holidays to me, I find are, you know, a little bit weird. Even Christmas, you know, I think is basically a pagan holiday that has been kind of co-opted by Christians. But really, I mean, the first Christmas was about psychedelic mushrooms and fertility rituals. I mean, there's actually a really good book by John Marco Allegro. He was one of the first, he worked for the Vatican, and he was one of the scientists who was deciphering the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are like the earliest forms of the Bible they found written on animal skin. And what he says is that, you know, the Bible was essentially a bunch of different pagan rituals that all revolved around psychedelic mushrooms and fertility cults. You know, so all holidays to me, I think, are a little bit weird, but I just appreciate them for the fact that it brings all the family together and you get to see people, you know. But that's all I ever take it as, you know. There's no magic in Christmas, but everybody can be happy. And they can attach to that, you know, similar tribal thing of, oh, we're all celebrating Christmas. And it makes people a little nicer and it brings people together. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that. You know, I got to ask MS something, you know. You know, we look at life and, you know, you're much more wiser than your years. You know, you've seen the change and you've kind of been able to circumvent that craziness of life and step away from that. When you look at life as a whole, where do you think equality has gone in humanity?
I don't think there's ever been equality, my man. I mean, the only thing that humans are actually equal in is the fact that we're all born alone and we're going to fucking die alone. That's really the only thing that we're actually equal with. You know, it's like they talk about privilege. It's all really just circumstantial. You know, like some people are born into this circumstance, some people are born into this circumstance. I've seen more people squander, you know, fantastic opportunities. And I've seen people get shut down out of opportunities. You know what I mean? Like, that's the crazy thing in my mind. Like, I've seen more people get shit handed to them and squander it and do nothing with it. You know, myself including when I was younger. Don't get me wrong. I fucking did the same exact shit when I was younger. But that's what happens. It's like sometimes people are too young and they get too much and then they don't know what to do with it. And then rather than learning from that mistake and building on it, they pretty much like go in that downward spiral. And then you get some people that they're stuck in their ways to where it's, they don't really grow. You know, it's like they don't accept any type of weaknesses, any type of flaws that they have. So they, in turn, they don't really get any better. They just kind of stay where they are. Like they peak out in high school or whatever the case is. You know what I mean? But as far as equality goes, dude, like I know racist people on all fucking sides. Unfortunately, you know, I hate to even say that, but I've heard fucking Mexican people be more racist about black people than I've ever heard a white person be. And I've heard more Asians be racist toward every other race than I've ever even heard anybody be racist. You know what I mean? So I don't really like, to me, racism is like fucking Freddy Krueger. You know what I mean? The more people fucking talk about that shit, the more relevant it gets. And next thing you know, it's invading your dreams. It's invading your thoughts. It's more than just like a physical threat that you now have to worry about. Now it's like a spiritual threat. You know, it's like a fucking mental threat that you have to fucking think about and deal with. And it's all bullshit because everybody focuses on that trivial aspect that, oh, we're different. We're this, we're left, we're right, we're blue, we're red, we're black, we're white, we're this tribe, we're that tribe. Who the fuck cares, dude? The only difference in our skin is basically where our fucking heritage comes from, a different side of the globe to where it was hot, it was cold, it was ice, it was this. You know what I mean? So that's the only real fucking, I don't get it, dude. Like, it makes no sense to me why anybody would hate somebody else just because of what they are. But when you look at how every single government works, dude, it's propaganda. You know, that they, that these governments teach their people to fucking hate these other people without nobody really trying to get to know one another. But when you look back in history, it doesn't matter what country it's from, there's been, like, warring times and fucking feuding times, and it doesn't matter what country it's from, dude. People fought people over nothing. You know, over a disgrace, over a fucking slight, over somebody not nodding their fucking head. You know, people die. So it's like, if you want to bitch about all these fucking problems, it's like first world problems. We got motherfuckers starving. We got slave trade still fucking happening this day, not in this country, but it's happening everywhere else. But for some reason, people think that their fucking lives matter more. You know, you got fucking kids that are working in fucking sweatshops for these fucking iPhones, your shoes, your fucking pants. You know, if people want to bitch about their problems, that's fucking cool. I dig it, you know. And back on the fucking whole holiday thing, like what Travis was saying, it's crazy, dude. All these holidays are all just a fucking joke. It's a reason for fucking Hallmark to make money and these candy companies and fucking Coca-Cola and all this fucking bullshit. But the cool thing is that it brings people together. People just looked at it like that instead of the fucking fake bullshit that's put on top of it. You know, like the masquerade, the fucking, the painting. It's all fucking shit. But if it brings people together, dude, then, you know, it brings people together under like a joyous feeling, whatever that is. You know, it's, the idea of Christmas is what means something to me, not the fucking religious holiday, not the fucking, you know, the bullshit behind it. It's like, to me, it's like, it brings people joy. And if that in itself is something bad, then, you know, what the fuck has this world really come to?
I love it, but hold that thought. You're listening to The Fighter's Voice on iHeartRadio, Univision, iTunes, and Stitcher. On that note, we're going to take a mandatory commercial break, and we'll be right back with the Misfits of Gold.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
And we're back, and I can hear MF laughing in the background. Hey, I got to take mandatory 15:30 and 45-minute cuts. I've been kind of getting my rear end, of, you know, chewed out just a little bit, but, you know, my show can still stay in its entirety. So, what was that?
Oh, nothing, just a thought.
Oh, you're just trying to give me crap on my own show like you always do. But, you know, now that we got you on, I kind of want to ask, get your thoughts, MF, on a topic that me and Travis, because you're outspoken too. Today, the lesbian gay rights community added a P to their slogan for pedophilia. And me and Travis talked. I got Travis's take on it, and I think it's sickening. When you look at the overall situation. Even the organization itself is split 50-50 over the adding of this P. What do you think that states to the people that are actually abusers of child? Do you think it gives them the green light now that an organization is backing pedophilia?
Man, I think that's actually diverting from the whole point behind it. You know, the funny thing was that during the commercial, Travis and I were actually just talking about this shit. Yeah, it's dude, in my opinion, I think it's fucking kind of foul. Yeah, like but it is what it is because people want to choose to do this shit. But when you really look at why it's happening like that, think about it. All this shit with Hollywood, all the politicians coming out, you know, being pedophiles, being homosexuals, you know, fucking sex slave fucking rings with children and shit. Like, you hear all these fucking stories going on right now about this person getting exposed, this person doing this, and woo, woo, woo. But, you know, out of actuality, now that they're putting that P in there, it proves to me even more that's the system's fucking rigged. Because you take a particular evil, right? Like that, the evil of pedophilia, you take that, and then you start normalizing it, what does it do? It takes away the evil nature of that, to where people now, they look at the taboo as like a norm. Now it's not fucking bad. Now it's, it is what it is. People are just, that's how people are. Like I said, they're fucking blah, blah, blah. But it's the fact that they're normalizing it is what's crazy to me. I mean, we can sit here and bicker and debate and argue and talk about how evil it is and how sickening it is. But out of actuality, it's like, what's my opinion going to do? What's Travis's going to do? What's yours going to do? I mean, we might be able to open some people's eyes. But what it really comes down to, like I said, dude, like the fact that they're normalizing it, there's people that are in power that will continue to let this shit fucking slide. Because why? Because now that they're in trouble, oh, no, we got to make it fucking good to where nobody looks at us like bad guys anymore. And that's the real fucking crazy shit behind it.
You know, I want to take it to a political level now. And, you know, as the United States is looking at as across the world as one of the biggest jokes anymore with Donald Trump as the president, a lot of people will disagree with me, but in the last few weeks, the U.K., and several other nations have declined to allow the U.S. president to come over there to visit. And this is the first time actually in the United States history that a president has been banned from entering countries. Do you think that with the type of president that we have running our country who would rather take to Instagram to praise our warriors instead of going on television to do it, president that will make himself look like a blatant ass on social media rather than handling his office as he should. Do you think he is part of the destruction and the decline of the United States?
Fuck no. Fuck no. And I'm sure people are going to fucking get pissed off at me just because I fucking said that. Oh, he's racist. He's fucking... No, I'm farthest fucking from that fact. But I look at that motherfucker like a businessman. He's a shrewd, he's a cunning, he's an asshole, but he's a fucking businessman. Everything he's doing for a fucking reason. He's doing it to be numero uno king donkey dick. And when you look at it, all the people that were problems are no longer fucking problems. Now we got these fucking crybaby motherfuckers like, oh, he's being an asshole, he's saying this, he's saying that. Well, guess what? If these assholes want to do something to us, you sitting there with that fucking, and I'm going to say the left fucking winged mentality, like they're not going to hurt us because people are just fucking people. And no, guess what? Somebody's got to be that asshole to stop that fucking evil person. And unfortunately, that's what happened. When you really look at it, blame America. Fuck blaming the politicians. Blame America. We voted these assholes in. We voted every single situation that's ever fucking happened because of everybody's own selfish fucking reasons on why they wanted this person to win or why they wanted this person to win. Nobody gives a fuck about the community. Nobody gives a fuck about everybody else. Nobody gives a fuck about their family. Nobody cares about anything but themselves. And in turn, look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the result of everybody's selfish fucking behaviors. This is like God fucking taunting everybody. Well, guess what? Now we got to send in this type of asshole to fix all this other shit that fucking other assholes created. Like, look what you did. And that's the American people, yes. Every single one of us is fucking guilty in one way, shape, or form because we all put ourselves before the fucking tribe. That's what happened.
Yeah, and just to jump on, I mean, I think I agree. I happen to love Donald Trump because of the fact that he is not a politician and because of the fact that he's exposing and breaking the system. You know, I think the system has been broken and fucked up for a long time. And he's the guy who comes in and just kind of flips over the monopoly board and says, fuck it. You know, I honestly believe he's trying to break the system bad enough that the American people finally have to get together and go, hey, this is fucking bullshit. Too many fucking laws. We have too much large government trying to control everything. We need to go back to the times where, you know, we all know what is wrong. We all know that there shouldn't be rape or murder or theft. But outside of that, man, when you start locking people in jail for growing plants and for collecting rainwater and for all of these ridiculous fucking laws that are around now, man, you know, it causes the people to act in a way that isn't for the greater good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for the first time we kind of agree and disagree on some scenarios of the situation. You know, I do agree that it's our country that's allowed ourselves to digress to where we're at now. But
yep.
On, you know, the military's behalf, you know, as I, you know, I'm a military man myself, but, you know, I think out of respect, and it's a respect issue with me only, and I think, I don't know if it's because of the age difference between, you know, you guys and myself, but as far as over the holiday, I just think that a president should take to the television station instead of via social media to thank the men and women that are protecting our country. You know, in that aspect, do you guys agree wholeheartedly with Trump taking to social media instead of, you know, taking to the airways like all the presidents in the past?
Well, nowadays, your social media is where you connect with the people. That was an edge he had over all the politicians in the race that nobody wants to talk about. The fact that he knew how to engage with the people. The American people are the fucking mob, bro. Like, less people watch TV than they're on their fucking phones, put it that way. He knows how to get to the fucking people. The guy's fucking smart. He's a businessman. He's whatever. But more people are on social media than they're watching TV.
And on top of that, I feel like every time the man goes on TV, he's got a team behind him telling him what he can and can't say, you know, somewhat. Obviously, the dude goes off script all the time, you know. But when he takes it to social media, you know that that is that motherfucker sitting up at 2:30 a.m. in the Oval Office on Twitter, you know, yelling at people. So that aspect of it I like. Like I said, I don't think he is a politician in any way, shape, or form. He's not a president, you know, he's not presidential in any way, shape, or form. But at the same time, you know, I like the fact that finally someone is exposing all of the flaws and the stupidity in the system so that we can collectively come together and fix it.
You know, I have to agree. You know, let's change the topic just a little bit. Let's go back to something that's really kind of confused me lately. Like I said, there's been several documentaries out in the last month, one of which I know, I don't know if MF's seen because he doesn't get on the internet very rarely, but I know you've probably seen it, Travis. It's a white hillbilly man, and he's got a young African-American gentleman sitting at the table, and he's saying, "Nigger, why don't you worry about taking care of your kid instead of hustling on the corner?" And he goes through this whole scenario, and at the end they kind of yell and then they hug each other at the end. You know, growing up in my era, from the time that I did, you know, in the Mexican, the African-American community, you know, there was an unwritten rule of respect, and there was a line that you didn't cross. But now that we have the internet, you know, lines are being crossed. That video that was, or that documentary or short, whatever you want to call it, film, that was Perplexed, you know, it sits well out here in the Midwest. How would you think it would fare out there on the West Coast where you have so much more of a diverse community? Do you think the video would have played as well out there as it did here?
What video exactly are you talking about, by chance?
I can't remember the name of it. It's a bearded white hillbilly man, kind of heavy set.
You're talking about the joint, the fucking Lucas Joyner fucking song, right?
I believe so.
You're talking about he's got a white dude with a beard with a fucking MAGA hat on, and it's got a brother on the other side of the table, and they're going back and forth.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I'm gonna clarify that right now because I've seen hell of this shit on fucking line, and it kills me how quick people jump to conclusions. Number one, that artist that actually made that song is black. Keep that shit gangster. It's not a white guy rapping in that entire song. It is the same guy rapping, and it's one guy that wrote that song. It is a fucking brother that wrote a song with a perspective from this side and perspective from this side. So everybody's venting. Everybody's going from back and forth. It's trying to get people to come together to understand the other person's side of the story, because that's what nobody wants to fucking do. You know what I mean? It's racism still exists. Yes, it still fucking exists. We've already fucking said that on the show. But it's even like it shows like what social media does is like a music video like that made by a brother. That is a brother right there. You know, that made the whole fucking track. One dude rapping, not two guys, not a white guy and that other black guy. It was a separate fucking dude rapping. But people want to talk about, oh, that white guy in the video is fucking racist and woo, 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 woo. It's like it wasn't even a white guy rapping, you dumb motherfuckers. do some research on some shit before you fucking come click the judgments. Use your fucking brain and stop expecting a quick answer.
Okay, the reason I brought that up, and I don't mean to cut you off, because there was a video in retrospect against that video by another African-American who truly downplayed the video and felt that it was a blow to the African-American society. So when you look at it in that aspect, not everybody took the value out of it or the understanding out of it like you or I did. And this is why I brought it up as a topic, because this is where the confusion begins and a lot of hate gets created. Now, do you think that the return video in respect to the original one, do you think it did fairness? Do you think it brought equality, or do you think it brought more hatred across the United States?
Man, I think it's just another person's perspective, you know what I mean? Because if you really look at it in context, you got two African-American males making, you know, a rap. One wrote the song, another one wrote it in contrast. But I'm sure that dude that wrote it in contrast probably didn't even think about the fact that it was probably a brother that wrote it, because he was like, oh, well, that's not what people go through. But that just even shows, it's like, you can get two fucking guys of the same race. They're going to go through different upbringings, different life scenarios, different situations, and they're both going to look at life in a different fucking perspective. And that's what nobody wants to understand, you know? So I don't think it did it injustice. I think it was rad because dude was speaking his soul. Dude was speaking his fucking heart, you know what I mean? Like, I came from deep down inside. Like, you could hear the emotion when the dude was rapping. That's why I'm like, you could feel that shit, you know? But so I don't think it took away from it. I think it's just another artist, like, you know, speaking his mind because he felt that one didn't do his justice. Maybe he felt he could do it a little bit better. Hey, I ain't mad at it. But I think the context of it is that you got two brothers rapping, and people were sitting there like trying to say like which one's fucking oppressed more. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's like saying like who's the smartest kid with Down syndrome? You know what I mean? I'm sorry,
right?
I fucking did it to somebody, but Jesus fucking Christ, it's like we're playing a game of who's oppressed more. Like, what kind of sad fucking shit is that?
Well, you know, coming from the Midwest, you know, I could go 45 minutes from my house, and this is the honest God's truth. There's still signs that are up that say, nigger, don't let the sun go down on your back. And, you know, a lot of people in the United States don't realize that signs of this magnitude still exist. You know, you can go 45 minutes from my house, and there will be huge signs on the side of the road that say, welcome to the KKK country. You know, there's still part of America that is so set back in time or set in their ways that they don't understand the diversity of our culture or our nation. Do you think that those type of people are the ones that are insinuating the hate in America today? And I'll ask you, Travis.
Oh, man, that's definitely a big one. But I think that, you know, like I've said before, we have to start treating individuals as individuals, you know. There's obviously a large, you know, portion of this country, you know, in the South and the Bible Belt. I've been, you know, I've been through there all the way from, you know, Texas to Florida. And I know exactly what you're talking about, man. You go to North Florida and you definitely see a lot of that kind of shit. But again, I think in a way it is getting better than it has been, because if you look, you know, you can look in almost every state now. And if you go to some places, you know, like Austin, Texas, I've heard, you know, wonderful things about, you know, Raleigh, North Carolina. You do get these outcrops, you know, of people, the young people who are well connected, you know. And I think one of the biggest things that doesn't get talked about today is how many young people, you know, we always do rag on the millennials, you know, but we rag on the millennials for the extremes of each, you know, like we do with everyone. These people you see on the internet, you know, they're the extreme stupids of whatever race or whatever, you know, clique or sect they're from. And, you know, we have to start treating people as individuals, you know. And those people who have those kinds of absolutely ignorant, closed-minded views, they need to be treated like they're ignorant and closed-minded, you know. And we have this, it's just like we have the ability, you know, with Facebook and with everyone to be able to express their own opinion and for everyone to be able to vote online, but yet we're not using it in the right way. Instead, we just use it to spread hate. We use it to watch one music video and don't look into that video whatsoever and go out and make our own. And, you know, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing so many of these people make response videos to music videos and stuff like that, and that was the only video they saw. They never did any research. They saw one thing one time, got pissed off about it, and went and put that hate out into the internet for some kid to stumble onto. And then that person does the same thing, reads one thing one time and goes off and spreads hate, you know. It's like a virus, man. And we have to be smart about what we're spreading and what we're propagating with this virus.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to a quote I made the other day on my Facebook page. You know, I see people, I don't see color. And, you know, I think that's the way a lot of people should be, because I don't think they're, you know, we've talked about this before. If we were all blind, would there be a difference? We said no, people would just argue over different shades of gray. And I think that's the way society is. Has Sam Toomer joined us yet?
No, I don't know what that motherfucker's doing. I think he might be eating.
You know, we put Sam on the show, but then again, he's getting ready for a fight, so we'll excuse him. You know, the reason I was asking was Sam, because when I grew up, okay, I didn't grow up in the, you know, before I went to Alaska and after I came back from Alaska at the age of 16, you know, I lived in, let's say, the least desirable neighborhoods of Los Angeles, and of Sacramento. I lived in the hood in different places. Why is it acceptable for somebody of my magnitude to walk up to a brother and say, "What's up, my nigga?" But yet, you let a white individual do that, and all of a sudden, it's a different story. How do you explain that in correlation with the growth of humanity? And I'll touch with you, MF.
Yeah, that's an easy one, actually. Symbols, my brother. Symbols, words. People lose focus over how much power words actually have and how much power symbols actually have. You know, you can be taught to fear something without actually ever really understanding why you fear it in the first place. It's just because it's been told to you so many times, it becomes ingrained in your system, you know what I mean? So people are taught to be a certain way, to live a certain way, to think a certain way. You know, and then when you look at the fact it's like anybody outside of a white person can drop the N-bomb, you know, that is what it is, dude. But they're like, for a good example, my best friend growing up, you know what I mean? He's a Mexican dude, but he drops the N-bomb like it's going on south. But that's just how motherfuckers were in my part of the Sacramento, you know what I mean? So, like, the first time Sam kicked it around us, like, he was a little, like, taken back, like, oh, my God, like, you guys are just dropping it like it's a thing to do. But it is what it is. You're different demographics. You know what I mean? Like, different words are going to mean different things in different parts of the fucking globe. Like, even hand signs, you know what I mean? If you were to hold a peace sign but actually turn your hand, like, you know, facing somebody else, I forget what country it is, that's pretty much like telling them to fuck off. You know, so it's like, depending on where you go, depending on what you do, certain things are going to be taken a certain way. It's just over here, you have a particular word that's been normalized through rap, through media, through whatever you want to call it. You know, and I understand the argument is because that was like something that they used to uplift themselves because it was the word that the man used to bring them down. Like, I get the argument, you know, like, it's not my place to say it. I don't use the word. I don't even use it in like a slang term, dude. That's not my place, you know what I mean? But I don't think, like, you can't get mad at people saying it if you're going out there normalizing it. You know, like, you want to get mad that these little white kids are listening to your music and saying this word. Well, guess what? If these little white kids weren't listening to your music, who the fuck's paying you? If these little kids weren't listening to your music, who the fuck is paying you? But yet you want to sit there and fucking, you know, oh, they can't say this word, they can't say this word. You got famous off of that word. You got rich off of using that word with everything. You know, it's like, how many times, like, how many raps could you actually sit there and tell me that don't actually drop the N-bomb once? How many can anybody really speak off the top of their mind outside of Will Smith because he don't fucking count? How many can actually say it off the top of their mind where they didn't drop the N-bomb? Or it's in movies, or it's in this, you know what I mean? It's in everyday talk, so it's normalized, but you want to get mad when somebody else says it because of something that never even happened to you in the first place, or you get it to where it's like the demographic, right? One person did you wrong, so now that entire race is guilty. And regardless of what anybody wants to say, there's a lot of people from all shapes, size, creeds, and credos that feels that way. Because if they were wrong, they have some kind of trauma, some kind of bad situation that happened to them, it's going to trigger that emotion, it's going to trigger that memory. They're going to have some kind of feeling toward that way.
But you know what? The point I'm getting at, why is it socially acceptable for someone of me of brown skin to walk into the hood and, you know, walk up to a brother and say, "What's up, my nigga?" But yet you could be right next to me and walk up to him and say the same thing, and it won't socially be accepted. Now, I'll let you or Travis either answer that.
I think with most things, Don, you know, it comes down to intent, you know, and it's like, you know, like MF was saying, you know, I don't use that word in everyday conversation, but I have before, and I have black friends who I say it before, and they say, "Yo, what's up, my nigga?" And I say, "What's up, my nigga?" You know, it's all about intent, and it's all about the people that you're around, you know, it's all about the energy. And so you know, it's just another one of those things where people have given it power, you know. That is, the N-word is one of the, I forget who it was. There's a comedian, and I want to say, you know, it might even be Joe Rogan, but he had an old bit, I think, that was about the three magic words. And the three magic words in our language are love, cunt, and nigger. And those are the three words that still have some type of a magical power around them, some type of words that if you say can change the entire energy of a room, you know. And I understand that, yes, that word has hundreds of years of hate attached to it, you know. And if you're going to come in and you're going to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, I feel like you should get your ass beat, you know. If I'm going to walk up to a random, you know, Mexican and call him a spick, or walk up to a random, you know, Chinese person and call him a Jap, you know, that's fucked up and I should get punched in the mouth for it. So I think, like all things, it comes down to the individual, you know, and it comes down to individual intent.
You know, I have to agree with you. You know, quite a few years ago when I lived in Greenhaven, you know, I had the ability to, I worked with a gentleman that was good friends with, you know, Nicole Murphy's, I guess, because she married Eddie Murphy. So I was able to meet Eddie Murphy, make a long story short. And we were sitting in his living room one day, and Eddie had made the comment that he was a racist. And I just kind of, because I kind of get shelled up when I'm around people like that are very, very forward in life, because I'm kind of like MF, the shadow guy. And especially at that time in my life, I was really a quiet individual. And for some reason, I grew some balls and I asked him, well, why do you say you're a racist? And he said, you know what? I hate blacks. I hate whites. I hate Chinese. I hate every fucking color. I even hate my own. And, you know, I look at that analogy that he used back then, and truly, if you look at it for what it's worth, there's a lot of value to that. Because you're not giving anybody any credit. You're not really demeaning anybody. You're just stating that you're an individual, and in fact, that's how you feel. It's not about color. It's about the intent of the person. Would you say that's a fair analogy?
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, that's what it is with everything. It doesn't have to be a particular word, you know, and you know that as well as I do. People are good at picking up on the energy. You know, and you can be in a situation and a particular shady type of individual can walk in, you know, and he doesn't have to say anything racist. He doesn't have to say anything fucked up. You can pick up on the energy and you can pick up on the intent. And if someone has that nefarious intent, I mean, to me, it does not matter what the skin color is. We all bleed red. And if you want to get, you know, down to the nitty gritty of it, I forget, there was another book actually that just came out called It's All Relative, you know, and it's this particular scientist who talks about, no, if you literally go through our DNA, everybody is your cousin, no matter how far you get down the line. And I think someone has traced it all the way back to, you know, you have your first, your second, your third cousins. I believe that they've traced it all the way back now to your 70th cousin. So, I mean, we are all fucking human beings, man, and we are just so caught up in bickering over these imaginary lines in the sand that you can't cross, and these imaginary fucking, you know, how much melanin content in your skin has nothing to do with the character of your soul and the individual, you know. So it's, you know, like you were talking about before, where we all got to get on the same page. We do, and that page we got to get on has to be the fact that we're all people and we all want the same things in life, and you know, everybody knows that raping and stealing and murdering is wrong. So why the fuck is it 2018 and we're pretending like pedophilia is okay and that words are violence? You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense, and we are completely detached from the real world.
Yeah, we truly are. You know, it's, I don't know, it's something that it really plays on my heart. I mean, we all know that I'm old. I say it every week, you know, but I'm really not that old. I'm just in my 50s. But I've watched from the time that I was a young man till now, and I don't know if either one of you are going to agree with me, but to me, society is digressing. And it kind of plays a little bit along the line of what MF was saying, you know, that we're kind of, we're going to have to break ourselves before we can fix ourselves. But when you look at society as a whole, just in the young years that you guys have been on the face of the earth, and you guys are wise among your years, that's why I love having you on the show. But when you look at society as a whole, would you say there's a massive decline in stability, and do you believe that society is degressing?
Who are you asking?
MF.
Perfect. Dude, I wouldn't necessarily say it degresses, or even fucking, it's like cycles, you know what I mean? I saw this meme, it was kind of crazy, but it was talking like a strong men, make peaceful times make weak men make hard times make strong men. So it's like a cycle, you know what I mean? It's like for every struggle that a generation goes through, it makes them stronger. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's like digressing, but it's like people in like a millennial age, like they haven't really like felt like that great struggle yet. There hasn't been like some kind of like great tragedy that actually like took place for them to actually remember, you know what I mean? No type of like suffering to bring them together. So they're kind of like stuck in this fucking limbo to where they really have nothing to identify themselves. So what do? They latch on to the fucking closest thing that makes them feel like a person. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's digressing. It's just, it's changing, deal with the times. You know, it's like you look at the internet, you look at how technology makes life easy for a lot of people. Like even like now, dude, like there's certain things that we do now that 100 years ago, these motherfuckers would have never even thought of, let alone that. Like, do you really think like any of us would have been able to live 100 years ago? I'm sure there's some, but not too many. You know, even like 30 years ago, dude, you take like these motherfuckers in their early 20s and like younger, take away technology, you know, I'd love to see what happens to them. I'd love to see it. I'd fucking sit there and fucking watch and enjoy it.
I would too, because, you know, I tell you what, it's slated by 2021 that you will no longer as an American will you have to lift a finger to basically accomplish anything that technology-wise that you'll be able to say, Siri, make me a cup of coffee, and your coffee's going to be made. You could order all your groceries online and have them delivered to you. You could do everything that you need to do without lifting the button. You can turn your TV on. You can do whatever. Do you think when society reaches that era, do you think we're going to see a further decrease in customer service attitude and work ethic in society today?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's so hard to say, Don, because of the fact that we have these technologies available that, as far as we know, all of human civilization, you know, hasn't had up to this point, you know. I am of the belief that things are going to get way the fuck crazier than everybody, you know, even thinks of. You know, there's actually a thing. I know there's this Russian billionaire. I forget his name. It's Mikhail, you know, Vinnikov, or I'm sure I'm fucking that up. Never mind that. But there's some Russian billionaire, and you can Google it. And he has this thing called, I think it's the 2045 conference. And what he has done is he has got together, you know, Elon Musk and Aubrey de Grey and basically all of the badasses in science and technology and engineering. And he has a goal set that by the year 2045, he wants to be able to download your consciousness, put your brain, you, Don McGuire, into a robot body, and now you will be able to live out your life. You know, basically they want to be able for you to decide when you want to die. If we get into that point where even now they're saying that children that are born today will most likely live to be 150 years old. And I think just that aspect of it is going to change society, you know. How many people are going to be mixed martial arts fighters in the future if you can live to be 250? You know, how many people are going to take brain damage on a daily basis if they can put their brain into a robot and now live forever and have the internet access instantaneously inside their mind? You know, so I think it's so hard to say what's going to happen because of all of this incredible technology. But if you just look at it historically, man, you know, you look at ancient Rome, and I'm a huge fan of the Mongols. You know, I've brought up Dan Carlin on this podcast several times, dude, and he has a crazy, I think it's a 10-hour podcast on Genghis Khan. And Genghis Khan in his lifetime killed somewhere between 20 to 75 million people. You can actually look in the carbon footprint of Earth, and he killed so many people, he changed the carbon footprint of the Earth during his lifetime. I think he killed something like 20% of the population of the globe in 1000 AD. And his story is amazing because Genghis Khan always believed that people who lived in cities were pussies and it made them soft, and that's why he was able to conquer them. And if you look at the story of Genghis Khan, he gives his empire to his four sons, you know, Kublai Khan being the biggest of them all. But within one generation, his children grew up soft, and the entire empire fell apart. And by the time his grandchildren took over the empire, it was completely back to ununified tribes all across Mongolia, and his entire empire within one generation fell apart. And, you know, you look at Rome, you look at all of these places through history, and when people get it way too easy and they're too entitled and they don't have to struggle and they don't have to build skills and character, you know, it like we've said, you know, easy times create weak men and weak men create hard times, you know, and I think that's the time we're in. We're in the time of weak men now.
You know, I kind of want to, on this last note of the show, because, God, this show actually flew by, and we've got 10 minutes, actually, of time left for you, gentlemen, because I know you guys got things to do. There was something that I've seen transpire, and it had to do with that has taken on this mission of going. He's even gone as far as North Pole, Alaska, which is a place I've been to, the Santa Claus House, which celebrates Christmas 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And this preacher has taken on a mission of going to malls, going to wherever there's, you know, a Santa Claus for the kids, per se. And he starts screaming at the top of his lungs that Santa Claus is not real. Kids, your parents are lying to you. Jesus was born 2017 years ago. This is all false. Your parents buy your presents. You know, don't believe them. That man sitting up there is just a normal man. Now, ethically, do you think what this preacher is doing is morally right? And I'll start with you, MF Beck.
I think it's all subjective, dude, to be honest. I mean, to sit there and argue whether he's right or wrong, yeah, you could take it out of the way.
He's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, he's an asshole. He's 100% right. It's like, why would you disguise the truth from the child, you know? But at the same time, I understand why you do it, because it tries to have something hold them accountable at a younger age, you know what I mean? Because there's certain things that will hold them accountable. If you're like, you know, if you're bad during the year, Santa won't bring you presents and blah, blah. You know, if that's something to help to strive the kid to, you know, be a better person, be a good, you know, be a good kid, then so be it. But, you know, to be an asshole, be like, oh, it's not this, Jesus this and Jesus that, it's like, damn, party pooper. It's like real shit. It's like Santa Claus is made up by Coca-Cola. You want to keep it real, gangster. So, you know, it is what it is. Dude. Like, why do you think Coca-Cola is fucking red and white? You know, so,
you know, I agree with you, but hold on, Travis, before you answer, before anybody else answers, my thought on this is I think a child should be entitled to that childhood that, you know, I grew up with and you guys probably grew up with. I don't think that anybody has the right, even though their view may be correct, to destroy that charisma, that charm, that thing they look up to each and every year. I mean, as we get older, we realize that Santa doesn't exist. So if you look at it in that aspect, you know, morally, is that correct to destroy a child's mentality on their thought on Christmas?
I mean, I think it's morally correct and morally right for somebody to walk up and fucking roundhouse kick that dude in the liver and just watch his soul leave his body and him crumble to the ground. Because, you know, that's the kind of shit you get for being a fucking asshole to 70 random people. It was just like we were talking before, and I find that no different to be than if he were to come in there and start screaming the N-bomb or, you know, dropping a bunch of racist shit. You know, and the fact of the matter is the guy is not right. You know, it's a subjective right, you know. For anybody who wants to argue that their religion is right, I find it to be kind of ridiculous and pointless. You know, exactly. It's arrogant. It's ego. It's this guy who somehow, you know, I don't know where his ego gets off getting that he needs to be the guy and go and ruin this for these 70 random people, because he's not changing anybody's mind. he's just pissing people off. And, you know, and so I think it's morally right for someone to come up and punch that motherfucker in his mouth so he has to go home and look at a busted lip for the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks so he can realize, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't go ruin a bunch of fucking kids' childhoods that aren't my kids and have nothing to do with me, and I just want to be an asshole for the sake of being an asshole.
Exactly. You know what time it is? It's time for MF Beck's Random Thought of the Week. You know, I told our listeners last week that each and every week we were going to put MF Beck on the spot and have him give a random thought of the week. So with that being said, MF, the floor is yours, my brother.
Yeah. Random thought of the week. This one's not necessarily a thought. This is just going to be a quick little statement just because it needs to be said because of everything that's happening. But, you know, you played the game, you lost, you're losing, it's happening, it's already happened, have fun. On the other side, the Misfits rise, bro. It's the breakaway party. It's the fucking the freedom, the light, you know what I mean? We got Sam lighting the way. But 2018, people be ready for it. But I don't think they will be. But a random
thought. I don't think they'll be ready for it either. But you know what? Whether they're ready for it or not, the story of the Misfits will start to be told next week in Minnesota as we all converge on Minnesota for Sam's fight. But we'll be spending, you know, a few days together. So, you know, I sat back and I thought, what better way to tell the true story of the Misfits than in the beginning, the meeting of all of us when we all converge on Minnesota? What's your thoughts?
You better have the spinach, motherfucker. That's my thought. It's a long time coming, man. I'm glad to see my dude fucking getting the opportunity he's long deserved, you know. Going to go out there and put on a show. People are going to enjoy it, you know, and get a taste of fucking some real shit. But then we finally get to meet Joe Ugly Ass, because he was supposed to be out here like fucking 6 months ago, but that never happened. You know,
we don't need to go there. You know, why digress when the future is a hold of us? Here we go. Within 10 days, we'll be together, you know. So, you know, actually to our listeners, we may not have a podcast next week because the fight is Friday. We're leaving Wednesday morning. So we may do a live feed from Minneapolis, Minnesota, or wherever the fuck we're going to be in Minnesota. We may do a live feed from there, and that would be actually kind of cool to do a feed before the fight. But, you know, I think the story of the Misfits needs to be told. I think people need to understand the plight of the Misfit, as you would say. You know, I love this group because what it truly is, and you don't find it anymore. You don't find a bunch of individuals that have their own merits, their own thoughts, but yet they can all come together as a group and still exist. I mean, in the year 2017, that's virtually unheard of. So when you look at the overall theory of the Misfits, how does it make you guys feel knowing that each and every one of you is an individual, you have your own thoughts, you look at your own basis and theories in life, but yet you can still cohabitate as one solid group?
New. That'd be my feeling. It's new. Not used to it. it's a good feeling though, man. You know, like for a long time, I kind of just kept to myself, and like I was like my real close circle, you know. But even then, like we all got along, so we all knew each other were assholes, and it's like we just expect that from each other. So it was a thing. It was like we were able to beat each other, but it was only around like select few. But you know, over time, things change and people change, and people, you know, lives happen and everything else. And I lost some friends, but I fucking gained these guys, dude. So I'm more happy with where things are and, like, the potential for growth. And, you know, the fact that we actually get an opportunity to fucking help people, dude, like, that's just, like, the icing on the cake, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, one thing I love about it is it's so different and it's so cool because, you know, 9 times out of 10 when you meet a group of people, not everybody's going to get along. That's the norm. But to have each and everybody have their own differences but still be able to cohabitate on the same page and see it eye to eye and stay as a group, it's tremendous. That's what drawn me into the Misfits of Gold is, you know, the theory and the basis kind of behind what you guys are. And it's really I don't know. It's different. Like you said, it's new. People, a lot of people don't understand how everybody can have their own values, their own thoughts, but still remain as one. And it's a tremendous attribute to you guys. You know, I want to touch on one more thing before we go. Next week, Minnesota is going to be a tremendous night for Super Sam Toomer. We all plan on converging on Minnesota. You know, it's going to be a hell of a night, you know, for all of us finally to get together and break bread and do whatever. But, you know, the task at hand is for Sam Toomer to step in the cage and do what he does best. So, you know, I know Sam was supposed to join us today. He's off doing his own thing. I just want to wish, you know, that part of the Misfits of Gold a tremendous outing. I'll do it in person in Minnesota, but I want my listeners to know that, you know, this is a new Sam Toomer. This is a Sam Toomer that is going to truly define the path for the Misfits of Gold and himself in life. And I truly commend you gentlemen for what you've done out there on the West Coast. It's tremendous where you're going. The future is looking bright, and there's a long road ahead of you. And I just truly want to, from my half and from my sponsors, you know, congratulate you guys on finally getting to a place that you guys feel that you deserve to be, and I think you deserve to be there too. On that note, I'm going to toss the mic to Travis Hyland. Any sponsors, friends, family, social media sites, or just anything you'd like to add to the program? The floor is yours, T-Bone.
Just, you know, that, like you said, man, that LFA fight with Sam Toomer, that's really the only thing we got on the horizon. Thank you as always, Don. It's fucking great to be back, man. I've missed these conversations. I've missed getting to, you know, I really feel like this is working out for your mind, you know. And there are so many people nowadays that just get so stuck in their ways and are so closed-minded, man. There's nothing more I love than learning a new perspective and, you know, getting a new perspective on a view that I already had. So, you know, for that, thank you as always.
No worries. You know, one thing I love about this show is we might not always agree on everything, but we get a greater understanding of where each other's thoughts are, and we appreciate that. And it's just a show to, you know, share and express different views and avenues to the people who are listening. And, you know, how can you go wrong with that? It's real life. It's real thoughts. It's not something that somebody typed out on a fucking, you know, Facebook page. And I'm sorry to my sponsors, but I didn't take another break, and you can go ahead and cut the program and re-loop it. That's fine with me, but this topic was too in-depth, and I didn't want to steer away from it. MF, I'm going to toss the mic to you. Any sponsors, friends, family, just anything else you'd like to add to the program, you know, I truly appreciate it, my friend.
Man, you know, thank you, like always. Just like Travis, yeah, I enjoy these conversations. It's always cool to, you know, that somebody actually values our opinion, although, you know, it may be a little crazy at times, a little off topic, and, you know, big thanks to the listeners, too, because that's, you know, obviously that's fucking the whole reason why you get to do the radio show and we get to do the fucking radio show. We just get to have some fun and talk about some real shit, you know, and pay attention to Sam on that LFA fight next Friday. Pay attention. Just watch. That's really it. Just watch and just pay attention.
Right? That's all you can do.
And then, you know, Oleg and Jay are making some moves too, so I want to start there, man. Like, people pay attention for those guys. Like, I know they went down to Southern California to meet with some people, so they're making moves too, man. And I got another one of my kids fucking going entrepreneur. Like, I'm stoked, dude. Like, the future's bright for us. And, you know, big shout out to everybody that's ever, like, been there, and even the enemies, even the people that doubted us, and even the people that, you know, put us through the hard situations. Thank you. You gave us a reason to fucking push harder.
Exactly. And you know, one thing I with Oleg and Jay, I'd love to have them back on the show. I had them on the show before, thanks to you. And, you know, tremendous, tremendous individuals and talented in their own right in the avenue that they chose to take. You know, see, that's one thing that why I jumped on this show, you know. And the funny thing is, we all know this, it all correlates back to Sam Toomer. If it wasn't for Sam Toomer, we wouldn't be on the show. We wouldn't be doing a weekly show. So it just goes to show you that good people share good people. And on the final note of today's show, if you take anything away from today's show, realize that just because your views and your points are different than others, it doesn't mean it needs to go to battle or get argumentative. We can all share our thoughts without being ignorant. On that note, I want to thank MF Beck, Travis Hyland, thank you so much for joining my show each and every week. This Misfits of Gold special is very near and dear to me, and I appreciate you gentlemen tuning in and sharing who you are with my listeners.
Thanks again, Dan, as always.
Hey, peace. You gentlemen have a good day, man. I'll see you guys in Minnesota.
Don't forget to cut your nails.
Man, they already cut, bro. Why you gotta clown? You know, before I hang up, you know, let's take this one step further. You know, talk about a brother giving a brother shit. Here I am, just coming off a major back surgery. This motherfucker gonna clown on me. Not be nice to me and say, how you doing, bro? But just straight clown on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's all good because, you know, I could take it, bro. You know, that's one thing I could take it. You know, the thing that cracked
that's
me up.
Telling me.
Yeah, your ex-boyfriend. But, you know, the point I'm getting at is it's a tremendous thing to be able to have somebody razz me because, you know, it just it gives me that fulfillment knowing that you're going to have to see me face-to-face one day. And God knows what happens. But
yeah,
you know,
I might
have to
scratch my eyes now beforehand.
I might have to bring some no shine for the top of your forehead, bro. But the thing of it is, hey, you know what? I'm proud of my muffin top, bro. Because you know what? Before we go here, I'll just say one more quick thing. When I first initially got sick and I went from 189 pounds down to 100, I think it was like 98 pounds in 2.5 weeks. Oh, shut the fuck up. They told me I would never see more than 130 pounds. Well, I just weighed in at 170. And, you know, MF likes to give me crap. Yeah, I do need to buy some bigger pants. Maybe I do got a little bit of a muffin top going on. But you know what? I'm damn proud of that muffin top because, according to the doctors, I never would have been where I'm at today. So on that note, hey, man, you can cheese on me all you want. You can clown on me all you want. But at the end of the day, I'm still proud of who I am. And I still love you, bro.
Amen. Love you, Gangsta.
All right, man. Y'all have a good day and get some training in and get Super Sam Tumor ready. Ladies and gentlemen, LFA, December 15th in Minnesota. I tell you what, if you're not there, you're going to miss probably one of the best fights of the year as Super Sam makes his way back to the cage. So fights you don't want to miss, like MF said, don't blink because you're going to miss history. On that note, I'm Don McGuire. This is the Fighter's Voice on the Misfits of Gold Weekly Special. Follow me on iHeartRadio, Univision, iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, and Blog Talk Radio. And you can follow me on Facebook at Don McGuire. On that note, have a good day and God bless.
Trip with two P's. I don't be thinking about much. No lie, I supply unbelievable kush. And my love for smoking is reason enough to go kill a performance and leaving a bustle of shattering hash. I'm dabbing. Got three guns in the cabin. Any problems you having, tell it to my Mac 11. Ayo. I don't be tripping, though. Yes, I am tripping. If you want to get trippy, go grab you a zip of that Mr. Magnifico. Take you a rip it. You feeling terrific, ho. I eat up a beat. It's a tragedy. Everything dead and they mad at me. I just be standing there happily speaking like I'd like to thank the Academy. I'm ready to learn who's teaching me. I could do this in my sleep. I'm easily one of the greatest alive. When I'm cooking up rhymes or I'm grilling you up with the seasoning, I believe I see my life as a blessing. I still get high, no stressing. Life's a test, but I copy the questions. I ain't learning your lessons. However you want it, don't matter to me. I'm one of them rappers that has a habit of beats. I never listen to the snakes that rattle right on my feet. I got an apple to eat, like I'm Adam and Eve. They telling me this'll be one of my victory shit. I don't really doubt it. Asking me how I be killing deliveries, I don't really think about it. They asking what it costs, I don't really think about it. They say it's all in boss, I don't really think about it. Got all them cars, I don't think about it. All the money and them bras, I don't think about it.